Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm Pat Lencioni, your host, joined by my partner, Cody Thompson. What's the word today, Cody?
Well, we just recorded another podcast, so I can't change it up. It was mediocre on that one, and it's mediocre on this one. I'm not doing great.
Very good. Tracy, are you still great?
I'm still great today. Yes.
Good. I'm feeling pretty great too. Matt, thumbs up still? All right. Overall, then we're doing all right. Cody, we're going to lift up your spirits here. Today, we're going to talk about, what's the topic?
Abdication versus delegation.
That's right. Here's where this comes from. Sometimes when you write a book, a few years later, you write another book that seems to contradict something you wrote in the first book. And that happened in my book, The Motive.
In my authorship too, Pat, that's been my experience as well, just so you know.
You know how that happens, Cody, when you're writing a book? And this is a really interesting and important thing to talk about. Because one of the things we say in the book, The Motive, is we say that you have five things as a leader of any organization, whether you're the CEO, the principal, the pastor, the head of a department, that you just cannot abdicate. You have to do those five things. And they are, you have to constantly remind people. You know, you have to be responsible for your team. You have to lead meetings. You've got to have one-on-ones with your people and manage them. All these certain things, it's like no matter whether you like to do those things or not, you have to do them. Because if your motive is to be a good leader, then it's not just to entertain yourself and make yourself have fun. You got to do the things that your organization needs because you're responsibility-centered. Well, then I just finished a book about the working genius called The Six Types of Working Genius. It's coming out in September. And in that, what we say is you should know your genius and spend as much of your time working in that genius as possible. Because if you're working in your genius, you're going to find joy and energy and contribute to your organization. And you should delegate things that are in your working frustration as much as you can. Now, nobody can delegate everything, but as much as we can delegate. So the question is this, Pat, do you want us to delegate things that we don't like to do, or do we have to do them? And the idea here that we need to talk about today is delegating something is not abdicating it. Mm-hmm. Delegating, and too often people say delegate that, which means I don't want to do it, you do it. And that's not the same thing. So that's what we want to talk about today is the important fine line between abdication and delegation.
Yeah, I really love this topic. Because, in fact, even in the last couple of weeks, I've had leaders at offsites ask me, so, hey, Pat wrote that book and it says that it's the leader's job to run great meetings. And now you're telling me that maybe somebody else should run this specific meeting based on their working genius. What do you mean by that? And I think the underlying core of this is it's about the leader has to own the fact that these things need to happen in their organization. They have to be primarily responsible. Now, some leaders, when it comes to having difficult conversations or building their team or running their meetings or reminding people or all the things you put in the advantage, some leaders are naturally good at that. They have geniuses that align themselves to that.
But usually not.
Right, but usually not. But all leaders need to own the fact that all of those things need to be happening in their organization, and you can own something and be responsible for it going well and delegate it. Does that make sense? Like, oh, it's my job to make sure it's good, not it's my job to make sure I'm doing it.
And Tracy, we see this all the time because Cody is a DG, so he's discernment and galvanizing. I'm an ID, invention and discernment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Cody is the chief meeting guy during our meetings. But so what does that mean? I still go to the meetings and I kick it off and I talk about things at a higher level. I don't sit there and go, well, I don't have G, so Cody, good luck to you. That I would look like a very weak and irresponsible leader. But I know that I'm not going to be the one to go, okay, so what's next? How are we doing on this? Let's keep pushing. Cody is the chief galvanizing officer, but it's still my meeting and I have to show up there, set the tone and be completely present and make sure Cody is doing his job. So I'm not abdicating and going, well, I don't care about these meetings. I'm an ID. I'm saying I have to still be responsible enough to turn over most of the work to somebody who's great at that.
Yeah. And I think, Pat, the meeting thing is an interesting one because what you'd, even in those contexts where I'm talking to other leaders, I say, hey, you know what Pat does a lot during our meetings, which is really critical, is what we talk about is you set the stakes at the very beginning. You say, hey, here's why this meeting's important. Here's why we need to be in this room. Here's what happens if we don't make a good decision here. Now, I think another great way of illustrating this is thinking about when we work with an executive team, and specifically like a leader of that team, a CEO, around building organizational health on their executive team first. What we do is we have a pre-meeting with the CEO and we tell him or her, hey, you're going to set the tone for this meeting. Your team needs to understand that this is coming from you, that we're going to do a lot of the work in the room. But if you don't stand up in front at first and say, here's why this matters, here's why I'm brought these people in, here's why we need to do the things that we're going to talk about over the next 2 days, then it's not going to work. And that's the difference. You could delegate something that you don't have ownership or believe in, and it will never happen as a leader. But if you own it and delegate it and believe that it, making it good is your responsibility, you did that for our meetings because you knew they would get better, not because you didn't want to do them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my motivation was the quality of that and not expending all of my energy on something I'm not very good at. Let's use another one. And this happens a lot. We talked to a CEO who says, I'm supposed to do team building, but you know, I don't know. That's not my gift. And I'm not that intuitive about people. And frankly, I'd rather work on a spreadsheet. So I'm going to have the HR person or a consultant come in and I'm going to delegate team building to them. And usually what they mean is abdicate it.
Right.
And say, you whatever you want to do is fine. I'll show up if I have to. And it's like, no, what we say is, no, you have to stand up and say, this is my thing. This is important to me. I want us to take this seriously. Though I don't have all the skills to facilitate this or to design and plan it, I've asked so-and-so to do that. But we better take this seriously because I expect us to function like a team.
And Pat, that's a subtle difference, but it's so critical.
Yeah.
You sponsoring it and standing behind it, standing on your chair saying it's important is so critical.
I think one of the ways that you can tease out whether someone is abdicating it or delegating it is when, if something's not going well, say it's a meeting or team building, and you go to the leader and you say, hey, I don't think we're where we need to be from a team building standpoint. If they say, well, that's not my job. I gave the HR person that role, or I gave the consultants that role. We should talk to them. That's the perfect moment where it's like, oh, if you don't think that's your job to make sure it's happening and it's going well, if when the negative comments come and you try to deflect, that means it's abdication. You know?
That's right. Yeah. And that happens. That happens. You know, I was just thinking about what we teach our consultants at the table group is that when somebody comes to you and asks you to do work for them and it's not the CEO, so the head of HR or strategic planning or something like that, we always say, no, you have to talk to the CEO because you have to find out if it's his or her desire to do this and they're behind it, or if they're just going to come to the meeting and be half-hearted. And that's not because they're more fun to hang out with or party with. It's because if they're not bought in, it's just not going to work. That's what ownership is. That's the thing. Delegation is not delegating ownership. It's delegating some of the actual work. Let's take one of the other five things. Let's take one I'm horrible at. And I will say right now, as we're talking about this, we didn't plan to talk about this. And that is that I think I've pretty much abdicated responsibility for one thing at our company. In fact, my wife reminded me last night, I was telling her about something at the office. She said, well, aren't you supposed to manage that? And I'm like, yeah. And it's like, don't you write books about that? Yeah, that's enough from you. You know. And that is, I don't like to do one-on-one management with people. I'm not good at it. I prefer it to be a group effort. I like to, you know, and so not only do I not do that well, because that's kind of more of a T thing, you know what I mean? It's like an ET thing, sitting down one-on-one, going through their goals. I like to do it as a team, but I have not really owned that getting done in other ways. And so for those people listening out there, probably the five things you're not supposed to abdicate, there's probably one that you are.
Can we go over the five things? I don't think we clearly went over the five things.
Yeah. So first is you have to be responsible for building a team. Okay.
The leadership team. Yeah.
A leadership team. So team building is not some esoteric touchy-feely activity. It's your responsibility to make that team great. Second, you're also responsible for making sure that people are managed, that they know what's going on, and not micromanaging, but managing people and knowing what their goals are and giving them and coaching and everything around that. That's one I don't do a lot of. The one is having great meetings. So you're responsible for that. We talked about that. Another one is constantly repeating yourself, reminding people of what's going on, reminding people of what's going on. And I have to make sure that's happening, but that's not my natural thing. So Cody does more of that. And the fifth one is really important. It's so important that I've forgotten what it is. What is the fifth one? Because I don't have this.
Having difficult conversations.
Oh, yes, yes.
Your having favorite one.
My favorite one, yes. Yeah, this is one I know that I don't like to do, but I think I force myself to do it. Yeah.
Yep.
And this is one, and the best example of this, Tracy, remember when you were at a different company and you were the HR person and the leader of the team delegated a difficult conversation to you. Can you tell us that story?
Yes. I think we've told this story before. I had to tell someone she had body odor.
Her manager didn't want to tell her. She thought, let's have the HR person who doesn't know her as well have that conversation.
This poor woman. Yeah. So I think I was 25 at the time. I had to go in and tell someone she had body odor and it was offensive to those around her.
Oh, God bless that person, by the way.
And let's keep in mind, because I always love clarifying this. This is not a list of five things that great leaders do, because there's, you know, we have that list in the Advantage and all of those things. These are the five things that most often when a leader's motive is not responsibility centered, that they abdicate and they say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to run great meetings. I'm not going to have hard conversations. So this isn't like, hey, if you're doing these five things, you're great. There's a lot of things leaders do that need to do really well. I love going back to what you said before we went into those five, Pat, is like your sort of propensity to avoid the one-on-one management, the managing of your people. And I think the seat that I'm in, when I look at the reason that's not fun for you, is because you love coming up with new things. And so the idea that you're, that process is kind of very, you know, rigid. It can be like sort of monotonous, that like, hey, let's check in and what's going on with this. And that you would rather have like an innovation conversation with each individual. Like, how can we change? I mean, you change people's jobs more often than you manage them. You know,
like, let's have you do something different. You know, when they come to me and they say, I'm stuck, I'm like, ooh, yeah, let me help you with that. But when they come and say, let's go over everything I'm working on and just make sure the trains are running on time, frankly, it's kind of more interesting to me when the trains go off the track so we can figure out where to lay the next track. And that's not good. And that's not a reason for me to abdicate that. That's a reason for me to say to somebody, hey, we need to do this. I will be involved in this. I'd like you to help me with the rigor of this so that I can be present to do it. So I should probably do that one of these days. Let's get on that.
Somebody with some tenacity on scheduling those. It won't be right. Me. But
I think the great, and I love the fact that you said, Cody, these are not the five responsibilities of a leader. These are the five most commonly abdicated responsibilities. And I've had leaders call me and say, I'm 0 for 5, Pat. I abdicate all of these because I love like the technical part of my job, and I'm the marketing guy or gal, and so I like to do that. These five things I tend to say, now HR does that and strategy does that and somebody else does that. And the message to them and to anybody listening is you need to take ownership for all that. Go back and say, I own all this, and rather than abdicate it, truly, truly delegate it and stay involved. And that's like you said, Tracy, seems like a subtle difference, but it's huge. Mm-hmm.
And this is where it's so important for, we have this phrase, like the best type of leader is a self-aware one. And that's because all you have to do is look at this list, look at what your skill set is and go, hey, it's my responsibility that all these are good. I'm not particularly good at team building. I would love to be, but I'm not. So I'm going to actively go out and find help in that area. Or, hey, you know, I don't really love repeating myself, and I can do it in spots that are really meaningful, and I'm going to have to do it more than I want to. But are there other people around here who can help get this message out over and over and over again? That's actually the sign of a great leader, not someone who says like, oh, I just naturally love doing all these really well. It's saying, hey, this is the essence of vulnerability. Like, hey, I'm great at some of these and I'm not great at others, and I need your help to help me do them all well.
And you know what's funny about that is that some of the people in your organization would be glad to do it for you, but they're going to hold back because they think they're stepping on your toes. They're like, well, I'm not the leader. And I remember when we said here at the table group, hey, Cody, you're a G. I'm not. I don't like Gene. It's wearing me out. You be the chief galvanizing officer. And not like I'm going to abdicate it, but, and you were like, yeah, I would love that. But, to expect your subordinates, if you will, to step up and fill in the gaps for you is really not realistic, because they're going to feel like, I'm stepping in to do your job. You need to invite them and explain to them why you're glad for them to do that. And that's going to set people free to use their geniuses.
That honestly, I that bears repeating, Pat, the invitation to do that on your behalf and the sort of deputizing of saying like, not only do I want you to do it, it's good for our company. I'm giving you permission. I think more and more people need to hear that, because before I have this natural galvanizing preference and it comes out. And when it came out before, I'd be like, oh no, am I stepping on Pat's toes or should I not have done that? You taking me aside and saying, hey, we need this from you. You, Tracy, did the same thing. Mm-hmm. We need this from you. Keep doing it. I think that's part of this conversation, is like to say, hey, delegation, there's probably a better word. It's like proactive, responsible delegation of this. Delegation seems to think like, I don't want to do that, so I won't. But there's like a really positive way of like deputizing people to mm-hmm. do the thing that they're really good at, that you are not gifted at.
I think you're right, Cody. I think the word delegation is no longer effective because people see it as abdication. I think it needs to be deputization, because it still implies that the sheriff is responsible for the deputy. I don't know. I don't know what the sheriff's doing.
We're gonna have to give you a badge.
I just saw a sign the other day, because it's, you know, people are running for elections. I guess there's all, and it was like, so-and-so for sheriff. And I'm like, I don't know who the sheriff is. I don't even know what the sheriff does anymore. But if he loses the election and somebody else gets appointed or elected, I'm pretty sure he's going to say, there's a new sheriff in town. But I don't know what that means. You know, he's going to show his
Matt's
dad.
Rolling his eyes. He loves it.
Yeah, like, hey, I think you need to wrap this up. You're spinning off here. Okay, let's not delegate. Let's deputize. Let's not abdicate, for sure. And let's remember, as a leader, we still have to be responsible, to sponsor, to stand behind everything. But if we can invite people to fill in those gaps, we'll make sure that the organization runs well, and we can be and that means our motive is in the right place. All right. Well, thanks for joining us again on At the Table. We love to talk to you. Oh, we want to thank somebody. We want to thank Ryan Brouse, one of our listeners. This topic came from him. He said, hey, what are we doing here? Are we delegating or are we abdicating? And that's what prompted this. So Ryan, good on you. Thanks for that feedback. We love hearing from listeners, and we'll talk to you next time on At the Table. God bless.